Welcome to the Fantasy Football by Committee podcast. I am your host, Anthony Angeletta, and with me, as always, is John Martinez. This is the Week 3 podcast, and as always, we are filming on Monday night during the Monday night game. So if anything happens afterwards, we might not have that info. We're just trying to get it as soon as possible.
Let's go, Jets. That's all I gotta say.
And before we get into the Week 3 news and Week 2 takeaways, let me just start by saying we have a Twitter account. And I was never a big Twitter person, but the moment we started this, I really started hitting Twitter hard.
It seems like you are a big Twitter person.
And, well, now I am. Well, I mean, I never was before. I had Twitter accounts, but I never really tweeted a lot or really had many followers. Mm-hmm. But within about, 3 weeks, have almost 700 tweets and, constantly trying to help people.
That's like 100 a week. That's pretty
good. That's a lot of tweets.
Pretty good.
So basically what I do is just try to help people, give them advice, because everybody wants advice on Twitter. I mean, hashtag fantasy football, and every day people are asking for start-sit advice, who do I drop, basically all this sorts of stuff. So, that's what I do, give advice. And, you're not always going to get everything right, but, people are there asking for it.
And people come out to you looking for help.
Yeah.
And you just give them wrong advice sometimes.
Well, look, if I was 100% right all the time, I would not be giving advice out on Twitter. I'd be making millions of dollars each week with DraftKings lineups. Because why would I even be wasting, you can't do that.
No.
But 99.9% of the people you help, whether you're right or you're wrong, are nice. You always get the 0.1% that have to be complete jerks and call you out on your bad calls. Like,
you know who you are.
Like, yes, you do know who you are. And look, Brandon Cooks was a bad call. I will admit to that. But
who saw the Saints offense
sputtering versus the Bucks? Who let Mariota throw for 4 touchdowns, let Kendall Wright go nuts, let Delanie Walker go nuts. And the person who called me out on this didn't even know Breeze actually got hurt. His shoulder was hurt early on in the game. So that could have changed the whole perspective of the game. So, look, just don't be a jerk on Twitter, okay? Because I will block you, and it's not worth my time for you being a jerk.
And call you out.
Okay? And if you're gonna do it, just don't be a jerk about it, Just let it go.
Constructive criticism.
So, anyway, that's...
Now that you got that off your chest.
Yeah, exactly. Now that I got that off my chest.
We can proceed?
Yeah, we can get into week 2 takeaways that aren't Twitter-related. I'm just going to say people panic way too early. Week 1 comes through.
I'm still panicking.
But I'm saying people were panicking on Odell Beckham, Megatron, Demaryius Thomas, and Adrian Peterson. People were freaking out.
Well, also Manning. Peyton.
Well, yeah, but...
That was the biggest one.
But you should still be a little bit worried about Manning. These 4 players I just mentioned, people were freaking out about because they had bad week 1s. And what happens, all 4 of them came back, lit it up, minus the 2 balls that Adrian Peterson put on the ground. Still had a good game. Just don't freak out early on. They're your studs. They're gonna get the job done.
Odell Beckham's first half was just like his run last year. Just catching everything, making people look silly.
It was ridiculous.
Just going nuts.
And it could have been even better.
I don't know why they stopped targeting him the second half, but...
Yeah, I don't know either. But the targets were there for Megatron, too. He came back. Demaryius Thomas had over 100 and something yards. 50 of them on the last drive.
Yeah.
But, just don't panic after week 1, Don't do it.
Or if other people panic, take advantage of that.
Well, yeah, you can do that, too, exactly. And we'll talk about that later. Another week 2 takeaway. Peyton Manning gets it done. But
still looked kind of shaky.
He did. I will attribute part of it to the offensive line really being bad.
Yeah, they're doing a new offense coordinator, learning new blocking schemes and everything.
It just
definitely hurting the running game. Neither C.J. Anderson nor Ronnie Hillman did anything really that game. The Chiefs' front 7 is pretty solid, but I think they both got like less than 4 points each.
It was ridiculous because it's funny because the first run by C.J. Anderson was like 13 yards.
I know. I was
it was like, oh, this is gonna be good. C.J. Anderson's back, and then he got nothing after that. Absolutely nothing after that. But, yeah, no, the offensive line is a problem. But you're right, Peyton Manning was floating some balls that...
I mean, they kept him upright in the second half, and that's when he really started going.
He had two balls that could have been easily picked that weren't. So, I mean, you know, three touchdowns, one interception, that was a pick six, which is no good. But,
I mean, he's accurate, it's just there's no zip on his ball.
I'm still worried. Keep caution. No, obviously, don't panic. Don't drop him. Don't be playing.
Keep playing him until it proves otherwise. But
there were people who played Alex Smith over him, and I was...
He got, what, 5 points?
I tried to dissuade them, but whatever. Right now, just play with caution. Another offense that looks terrible is my Saints offense, and doesn't look like it's going to get any better with Breeze possibly being out. It was only
is he going to be out for a couple games?
He didn't have a tear in his shoulder, but it's a strain. So they're going to see how it feels closer to the end of the week.
Is it just like what he can take in, like his pain threshold?
Probably, but Sean Payton is very mum about injuries all the time, so you're never going to know until the last second if he's going to be able to play. And if he doesn't play, I mean, that hurts everybody. That hurts, the running game. That hurts.
That's everyone's value there.
It's bad. It's bad. I mean, and Breeze hasn't been looking too great. I mean,
his last, even going back to the last few games of last year, hasn't been looking great at all.
So I would be deeply concerned about anyone on the Saints offense, especially Brandon Cooks.
And Coleman,
but,
too.
But Cooks was a really high draft pick for most people. Same thing with Ingram. It's
true.
Like,
Ingram was still... He still got a decent amount of rushing yards.
He got in the end zone. He got like 50-something yards rushing. But if McCown's playing, they're going to stack that box on him, They're going to tell him, beat us. And that's it.
So...
You have anything from week two? I got a few.
Week two. No, I mean, you can keep going. You're on a roll.
How about Travis Benjamin?
Oh, I did call that one, though.
Now he needs to be owned in just about every league. In every league.
I think he only had three catches, though, and two of them were bombs.
It don't matter.
He's going to be a home,
he's a home run threat every week. And if
Manziel
continues to be the quarterback there, I mean, they seem to have a really nice chemistry going.
I mean, we'll see how long... I mean, that was against the Titans defense. That's not very good.
Still, look.
I mean, there were times where he just, rolled out, could step up, have, plenty of time, and Benjamin was just running down the middle of the field.
And Benjamin got speed, so.
And also, he returns punts, too. So if your league does scoring for punt returns, all leagues should, but.
What, punt return yards?
No. Touchdowns.
Oh, yeah, no, of course.
So you can get the odd, one there, yeah.
No, because there are leagues that do punt return yards, too. Oh, that would be even better. No. But, I think Benjamin's got to be owned in every league this...
Should have listened to my own advice and picked him up before, but...
Better on giving advice than taking your own. Speaking of that game, we're talking about Mariota coming a little bit back down to earth.
Still two touchdowns, a couple turnovers, though.
Yeah, two lost fumbles. He was getting hit. This is what's going to happen. People... We're ready to
crown him.
They were ready to catenize him after one game, and you can see that he's gonna have growing pains.
Oh, obviously.
It's not gonna be all sunshine and rainbows for this guy. So temper your.
Is that a Hawaii joke or?
I have no idea.
Oh, okay,
but temper your expectations on Mariota. I mean, he's definitely in deeper leagues. This is a good pickup. A nice backup if you have someone like Bradford or who's not playing well, or Romo who got it. We'll get to. Speaking of Roman, let's get to that.
I think everyone on the Dallas offense just took a big hit in being able to play them.
I mean, Romo just fractured his left collarbone.
Yep.
So
same one that he broke like 5-6 years ago, I think they said.
No surgery, but out at least 8 weeks.
It's still at the same timetable somehow.
Possible short-term IR with designation to return. Witten didn't leave that left that game
hurt.
Two sprained ankles and a sprained knee, so that's no good. Brandon Weeden is now going to be your quarterback.
He was 7-for-7 for 80 yards, but
that's.
I mean, I was
small sample size.
I know. I was just saying. He's still. But even last year when Romo got hurt he still played decently.
He does love Terrence Williams. So if there's anything about it, him and Terrence Williams have a little bit of a connection. So maybe Terrence Williams is still worth the value he was before, but It's tough. I've never really seen enough from Brandon Whedon to trust a lot of people, so no. That's going to hurt that value a lot. And in that game, how about Philly's offense and how bad it looks?
Like, 25 quarterbacks have more rushing yards than the Eagles do. The Eagles running backs.
There was a drive where DeMarco Murray would have the moment DeMarco Murray touched the ball. There were like three Cowboys in his face.
Well, think like they were just handing him off without a running start. So he was just standing there and just getting hit right away.
You get negative rushing yards. Yeah. That is ridiculous. I mean, that is awful.
Chip Kelly is not looking very smart right now.
Bradford, the only person he can get the ball to is Jordan Matthews. I mean, everyone else seems to either tip it, let him get picked off, or he's just getting crushed because the offensive line just isn't giving him enough time. I mean, it's a mess. It's bad in Philly, and hopefully they write it soon because I have a lot of stock in them with Jordan Matthews and Sam Bradford. So hopefully they write that.
Jordan Matthews might be the only one that's worth having. He still had like 14, 15 points.
Yeah, no. Jordan Matthews is awesome.
He's the only one, I think, for right now. Even DeMarco Murray, that offensive line is just so bad. They cut their two best guys right before the season. It's just a mess, that offensive line.
Yeah, it's DeMarco Murray. That's another one. That's don't panic, but caution. You know, I got one more out of this year. Larry Fitzgerald. I mean, come on,
beast.
He looks like Larry Fitzgerald from like 6 years ago. Like,
yeah, it's just one game.
I know, but even versus the Saints, he was getting targeted a lot. He didn't get a touchdown, but he had a lot of receptions. Palmer seem to have like some sort of connection here where
Palmer spreads the ball around.
He does spread it, absolutely. He had four touchdowns, three of them went to Fitz, but he does like to spread the ball around a lot, but Fitzgerald just seems vitalized, and at this point going forward I would have to play him.
For him it's just a question of staying healthy.
Who, Palmer or Fitzgerald?
Both of them. But also I was talking about Fitzgerald, but both of them for sure.
No, I mean that's the thing. I keep Palmer upright, and I think Fitzgerald will continue to do his thing as John Brown continues to progress, because I still think John Brown is going to be the best wide receiver in that group at the end of the season. I'm still touting John Brown.
If Palmer stays healthy, there'll be plenty of touchdowns to go around.
Oh yeah,
for both of them.
Ridiculous amount of touchdowns. Last one I have here is it is. What about? All right, let's see. Hill, Anderson, Murray. It is time to start worrying about those three running backs.
I think once, for Anderson, is again with the offensive line for the Broncos. Once they get it together, I still believe in him. Murray, you never know with the Raiders. Like, they exploited the
DeMarco.
DeMarco. I thought you were talking about Latavius. DeMarco.
He had a nice game.
Definitely panic. Panic for DeMarco.
And Jeremy Hill. Two fumbles. Geo replaces them.
Geo did runs actually wild. Yeah. So
was a starting running back, you know, beginning of last year.
I know.
So it's not like he's.
I think it's time to panic for Hill just a little bit.
It's Marvin Lewis did say that, you know, Hill's still the starter, but I mean
maybe they'll split the time a little bit more evenly going forward.
Yeah, that's a situation where you actually might be able to play both running backs in a certain situation because they're going to get enough carries. You know what I'm saying? Like,
that's right. And they like to run the ball a lot. That passing attack is pretty good right now.
Well, Dalton seems to love Eifert.
That's true.
So.
I would. Defense are going to have to concentrate up, you know, and start shutting down AJ Green, even Marvin Jones and Eifert. Running game should be, you know, should be open.
I can see in certain situations starting both running backs. You know,
we gotta see how it goes going forward.
All right, so now we're done. That's enough of week two. I'm done with week two because made some good calls, but you know, I think I made more good calls than bad calls this week. Oh. Absolutely, but of course the bad ones always shine through, you know, because of jerks. Let's get to a few injuries. We already talked about Romo out 8 weeks at least.
Cutler out 2 weeks.
And yeah, that's another one. He hurt his deep, strained his hamstring. So, you know, Jimmy Clausen. Ugh. I wouldn't try it now. Don't be picking up Jimmy Clausen. There are other quarterbacks out there you could probably get. someone like, I was thinking, like, you know, if you had Romo, if you have Breeze, or if you have Cutler, and you don't have a backup quarterback, which, if you have Cutler, you probably do.
There's going to be a couple of starters.
But I'm saying, like, Derek Carr. Derek Carr's someone like Joe Flacco, or like Andy Dalton is a good pickup if available.
Colin Kaepernick. I know, he went undrafted in a lot of leagues.
That was another one, actually. Yeah, good one. Colin Kaepernick. I mean, he threw so much versus the Steelers. I understand they were down and they needed to throw, but, you know, that is definitely a good pickup if you have someone like a Romo or a Cutler and you need a fill-in. Like you said, Kaepernick was not drafted in a lot of drafts this year after being, you know, pretty high a couple years ago. Eddie Lacy, x-rays were negative. They're going to say...
They said he should play next week. I still handcuff him with Starks.
Yeah, no.
If he's available.
If Starks is available, definitely get him if you can, because even if he misses 1 week, or even if he doesn't miss 1 week, now it's good to have the handcuff, because who knows, if he re-aggravates it during next week's game or during practice, if he does.
I think they're playing Monday night too, so they have an extra day to recover.
That bodes well for Lacy, but also could be painful if it's getting close and still questionable. You have no idea who to play.
Same thing I did with T.Y. Hilton.
So at that point, though, that's why it's good to have Starks, because if it's getting close and then he becomes inactive, boom, you throw Starks in there. Lamar Miller got hurt, left the game, but he said he should be fine. He said he wanted to come back in. Not so good for Jordan Cameron, who hurt his groin and tried to come back, but he couldn't come back. So it's another tight end you might have to find a replacement for him. Someone like you said, you were talking about before, Crockett Gilmore.
Oh, Crockett. Best name.
I mean, that is pretty good. So two touchdowns, over 80 yards receiving.
He had 9 targets too, yeah. So it wasn't just, you know, a couple things that he broke open. He was consistently getting targeted.
Yeah, no, Flacco was definitely targeting him in that game.
Flacco's desperate for weapons.
But you said that was the best name in football, but I think there was a better one, and it was a tight end actually who came in for Jordan Cameron. And what the hell was his name now? Hold on, I'm trying to look it up because now it's gonna bother me.
All right, well, we can keep going while you search.
Yeah. Oh no, his last name, Jake Stoneburner.
Stoneburner. Awesome name. Yeah, that's great.
He came in and had like 2 receptions and he had a touchdown.
Right, yeah.
Reason why I thought about that, not only because the name is awesome, was because you said Crockett Gilmore. Not only did he get the 2 touchdowns, got the targets, you know, to go along with the receptions. You can't trust someone like Stoneburner.
Who just gets a couple targets by the goal line or whatever.
Yeah, you know, it was just a lucky touchdown. It was actually a really good pass by Tannehill. So, yeah. No, Crockett Gilmore could be someone that could definitely fill in if you had someone like a Jordan Cameron who got hurt. So, and like I said, great name. Tevin Coleman, that's another one. Scored before he scored
a touchdown. He was running really well before he got hurt. I didn't see him get hurt.
I missed it. I wasn't able to watch that portion of the game. My daughter was running around like a mad lady.
It happens.
And I missed it. But Devonta Freeman came in, and it looks like they're going to see... They said possible a couple weeks, but they're going to test out his pain tolerance. Because it's just a rib injury.
Okay.
So they want to test out his pain tolerance prior to Sunday's game.
I would not want to be a running back with a rib injury.
I know. They usually wear like the extra padding around.
But still,
you know?
That still got hurt every time you carry the ball.
So that's why they're gonna test the pain. But there's a, you know, like I said, if you don't have, if you have Tevin Coleman, go out there, get Devonta Freeman, because there's a good chance he will be starting this week. And
and they're playing Dallas too.
Dallas looks so good against the run lately.
But the thing is, though, their offense is so bad. I just think the defense is gonna be on the field so much.
What, Dallas?
Yes.
Yeah, I guess that's true. I mean, if Whedon is the quarterback, and that's very possible. But I still don't know. I mean, DeMarco Murray couldn't do anything against them. The Giants running backs couldn't really do anything against them. It's like, I don't know. It's a tough call. But, of course, still, pick up Devonta Freeman. Sometimes you don't have any better options, so.
Go for it.
But he needs to be owned if you're a Tevin Coleman owner.
Definitely.
So, and that's about it. What am I talking about? I'm talking about Breeze before. I'll just finish up because he's my boy.
How disappointed are you?
I'm very disappointed. You know what, though? It comes down to the point where I really feel like the Saints aren't going to do anything this year. much, you know, I feel like this is...
Sean Payton era might be coming to an end soon.
Well, that's what I did hear, that someone said that they think that Sean Payton's going to get fired. I don't think so. I think Rob Ryan will get fired. But Titans aren't going to do anything this year anyway. I don't feel like it after these 2 weeks. So I wouldn't want to rush Breeze back. You know, I'd rather let him heal.
Yeah.
And then, you know, he's still got a few good years left in him. So let him heal. Let the team come back for next year. And then let's go from there. You know, like, I don't want
to
rush.
I mean, they're going to need a defense, though, to do anything. But that's besides the point.
Yeah, but...
For fantasy purposes, stash him on your bench for a couple weeks until he gets healthy.
You're
not doing anything crazy with him. But his targets, like Ingram, I'd still play. But his targets, you got to be careful for. If you have better options, obviously go for those.
Yeah, it's going to be tough playing any wide receiver.
Who's their backup? McCown? Josh McCown? Luke McCown, that's right.
And then Garrett Grayson is the third string. Which, honestly, I would like to see what we have in him. I mean, we drafted him this year.
Where's he from?
I don't remember. But we drafted him this year, and the Saints really, like I said, we're not going to go anywhere this year. So you might as well see what you have in your rookie quarterback, you know? Like the guy who is possibly going to be the heir to the throne, as they would say, you know?
I got you.
No, that's just me. That's what I'm thinking. Colorado State.
Yeah, I got you.
Colorado State.
Yeah,
no. So, I looked that up a little bit. Grabbed him in the third round, 75th overall. Right. See what we got here.
We don't need the Saints podcast now, though.
Come on. All right. Let's go to...
pickups?
Big pickups. What are you looking? Who needs to be picked up this week?
The big ones that everyone's going to be going for, I feel like, are Travis Benjamin, we mentioned, Hankerson from the Falcons. Roddy White did zero.
Roddy White's done, I'm telling you.
The week one game, he did all right, but this game he did zero. Hankerson, 70 yards and a touchdown?
Could have been two touchdowns. It was close. They called that first one back and then ended up going to Tevin Coleman.
Yeah. Those two, everyone's going to be gunning for. If you want some people that... Not everyone's going to be putting a waiver bid in for. Ted Ginn Jr., one of Cam Newton's only deep threats. He had 7 and 9 targets.
And Kotry is out for a few weeks.
And Kotry is out, too.
They didn't mention injuries because he's Jared Kotry.
Right, Michael Crabtree, eight targets week one, 16 targets in week two.
Don't expect 16 targets, but he is going to be used a lot.
9 catches for 111 yards and a touchdown. Baltimore secondary, their defense is not looking very good this year.
They shut down all of Denver the first week.
Run defense, good. Secondary, looking very suspect. So if you have matchups against Baltimore, I would try to use those and exploit them. But those are the two guys that you can get for...
I like Crabtree. That's a good call. I think... he will, like you said, be targeted well enough.
And plus, Amari Cooper looked good, so we can see, you know, he's going to be getting most of the attention. Crabtree, even though he's mediocre, he can get a decent amount of catches.
Not bad. No, I absolutely agree with Craig. I actually didn't even have him here, but I was thinking number one for me to pick up is Matt Jones. I mean...
Matt Jones, I had that too.
I mean, he went off on a defense that completely... shut down
and Lynch. Know who his next game is against? The Giants, who have one of just an awful run defense.
Thursday night too. But
I picked up Matt Jones once I saw he had like 2 touchdowns and like 20 points Sunday, like at like 2 o'clock.
Did you waiver claim them?
Nah, I just picked. He was a free agent.
How?
I don't know. It's just how it was. In this one league.
It's a weird league you're in.
Yeah, in this one league.
I didn't know ESPN league.
Yeah.
But Matt Jones is one. We already touched on James Starks. Because of the Eddie Lacy injury, obviously, he needs to be picked up. You said Travis Benjamin. I agree with that. Leonard Hankerson, I also had. Deion Lewis. If for some reason he's not picked up in your league, don't expect the amount of touches to be that lopsided between him and LeGarrette Blount. LeGarrette will still get his. Remember, it's Belichick. He always likes his, you know.
I never know what he's doing.
You know, it's like Jonas Gray will come out
and
could run for like 200 yards or whatever the hell it was.
And then released it like 3 weeks later.
No, and then it was like benched the next week because he came in late. Like, never know what Belichick is thinking.
He almost looks a little bit more versatile than him, though.
Well, yeah, he's very good in the passing game, especially in PPR.
Which, you know, Belichick likes, and Brady likes, you know, the little check down ones.
So he's definitely worth a pickup. If David Johnson, home run threat, looking really, really explosive. I mean, of course, you can't count on punt returns every week, but still, five rushes for like 42 yards and a touchdown. Looks much better than Chris Johnson. Chris Johnson, I believe, is a little better at pass protection, which is why he's being used more. You know, if
I still think they're just working him in to into the whole playbook and everything.
Arians did say that he will start seeing more snaps as the weeks go down. You know why? Because look,
I mean, you can see the talent there.
You can't, yeah, exactly. You can't deny the talent. Chris Johnson is almost done with his career. David Johnson just beginning it, and you can see that he has tons of talent. Last one I got is Allen Robinson. After that first week, I feel like a lot of people might have dropped him because of how bad the Jaguars were and how the little amount of targets he got. And then, of course, you know, people give up on him 1 week and he explodes for over 140 yards and 2 touchdowns versus the Dolphins. So
yeah, I was talking to someone. I was like, oh yeah, Allen Robinson was so disappointing week one. And then on Red Zone, they show him getting a deep, like, you know, 70-yard bomb.
It was sad because I think I had to pick up a running back, so I think I picked up, I think it was Deion Lewis, but I had no one else to drop, so of course I dropped Allen Robinson, and of course Allen Robinson goes off. So
is this in our league?
No, it's not in our league. No, Sal has him in our league. Ah. I think he picked him up, actually. I don't know if he played it this week, but he did pick him up. If he's still available, go with Allen Robinson.
For it.
Besides that, I mean, you know, there's some backmaking over all sorts of pickups. You know,
I mean, those are mostly wide receivers. Running backs are so tough to come by. The waiver wire,
it's a waste.
I was looking through. There's not many options.
I always said it's a wasteland. I mean, you know, my backups were, like I said, Dunbar and Deion Lewis in one league. Of course, Deion Lewis did well,
One of the better options I could find for running back was Dexter McCluster from Tennessee.
He looked good. I mean,
in PPR, I can see him being a play, but
you know what? Speaking of Dexter McCluster,
go on.
Let me just say, I was pulled in by it again.
Bishop
friggin' Sankey. I will tell you.
Did we not say don't be pulled in by Bishop Sankey?
Fool me, you know, the fool me once, shame on me, you know, whatever, shame on you, bullshit. It's just...
That's not how that saying goes at all.
I know. I'm just so annoyed. Because all of last year, you kept thinking, this is going to be the week. This is going to be the week. This is the matchup. You have it. Every week, he did terrible. He was awful. And then week one, he comes out with 2 touchdowns. And everyone's like, this is Bishop Sankey. This is his year. And week two, what happens? Crap. Dexter McCluster goes to like 10 rushes for 90-something yards, and Sankey does crap. So, I'm done. Bishop Sankey is over. I am never, ever giving him my thumbs up ever again. Bishop Sankey is done. He's dead to me. Bishop Sankey is dead to me.
You know this is going to come back.
This is absolutely going to come back. I know, of course it is. But Bishop Sankey is dead to me. Sorry. I can't do it anymore. I can't do it anymore. Sorry. That's my little Bishop Sankey rant, because I'm so angry. Anyway, now I say it's lost. I'm so angry. I lost my place. All right, we got a few buy low candidates. Now, what that means, in case anyone doesn't get what that means, is someone who's underperforming.
People panic,
and you think that okay, you know what, this isn't gonna last. Like Bishop Sankey, that's gonna last. Don't worry. This is for people who you think will do better. So what you try and do is you try to get them at their lowest value. And, you know, basically make a good trade for yourself. So someone like a Justin Forsett.
I mean, you're still going to have to give up decent package, like, you know, good package
but,
for
you
them.
But, you know, someone's panicking, so they're trying to cut bait on them. So someone like I said, Justin Forsett, two not good weeks in a row, especially versus the Raiders, who everyone, you know, including me, thought was going to have a good week. I wasted him in DraftKings.
Yeah,
so
that was
a bad, you know, come on, it was the Raiders. So... So it's someone like Justin Forsett who you see, maybe you he was drafted, what, in the third, fourth round, most leagues? You try and get,
definitely up there.
So you try and get, like, sixth round value for him or fifth round value for him.
I mean, you can see what, you know, what and what the other person has. They need wide receivers or whatever.
But this, so basically that's what it is. So Justin Forsett is like a buy low character. Someone that hasn't performed yet, but you think
There's a bunch of big running backs too that have underperformed.
Well, that's the thing, is like you have the Jeremy Hill who's could be a buy low candidate, you know? Like he has the opportunity to still produce well, and you saw in week one he has that ability.
Oh, for sure. He just needs to keep the ball.
Hands. DeMarco Murray is another one. I mean, yes, the Eagles offense is struggling, but I mean, do you expect it to last for 16 games? I mean, I don't. I think they're going to get better, and DeMarco Murray is definitely a buy-low candidate. People who are worried that Sproles and Matthews are going to eat into his carries and touches.
I can see Sproles doing that more than Matthews.
Well, yeah, but what I'm trying to say is, like, that's someone I would try and target, like, DeMarco Murray. Especially, you know, like I said, running back is a wasteland this year. So if you could pick up one of these higher-name guys who aren't doing so well to put on your team, it might be worth it, you know? Because there's no one out there. I mean, you have the Matt Joneses. There's very few people out there. So DeMarco Murray, Justin Forsett, Jeremy Hill, like, those are candidates definitely for buy low. I also think Greg Olsen's a fantastic buy low.
It's interesting to see what Greg Olsen's not doing, because there's Cam Newton doesn't really have anyone else to throw to. Ted Ginn Jr. is basically it. We said Jericho Kotchery was carted off. Our team's just, I think, we're just zoning in on Greg Olsen so much, or is he just Cam Newton just not looking at him?
I don't know. I mean, he was definitely being guarded well week one. I didn't get a chance to watch much of week two. But he was invisible week one because I believe he was being guarded. And I think you might be right, though. I think they might be
just zoning in on him.
Yeah, because he is Cam Newton's best target. So they're leaving open, like, the Ginns and the Kotcheries and whoever else is, you know, they decide to get this week to come off of, you know, driving a truck to be their wide receiver. But I still think at some point
he'll break through.
Yeah,
he's too good.
He's a good enough tight end that I think that Newton will get on the ball. And at some point, start forcing him the ball, and whether it causes interceptions, he'll still get some sort of receptions with that. And I think he's a good buy low candidate, especially if you have like a tight end like.
Well, also, I did in one of my leagues. I had Martellus Bennett. I saw a report Julius Thomas, another one that you can, if you're for trade bait. Julius Thomas is progressing faster than everyone was expecting. Might be back a little bit sooner.
It was like 6 week timetable, wasn't it?
Yeah, they're saying
might be less
questionable for next week.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. That's pretty good.
So, you know, you just get them on your bench. Once they start lighting it up, or, you know, getting at least a decent amount of points, use them as trade bait for someone that has, you know, shitty tight ends. Or, you know, shitty running backs or whatever, yeah, and just try and finagle a good trade.
Because that's another thing. There's only really like four or five tight ends that really will be consistent all year. And that's about it. I mean, even like someone like Kelsey is not consistent, you know? Like,
nope.
Everyone saw that on Thursday night.
Eifert, too.
Who knows? Eifert could be touchdown machine already three in 2 weeks, so. Yeah, so like those are a few buy-low candidates. We'll go through more of those as the season
progresses. Week two, like we said, week two is still very early panicking.
You're definitely going to find someone who's going to be willing to give up one of these guys. So as the weeks go on, we'll definitely have more of those people out there for you. All right, now we're going to do something. Instead of going the whole game by game, you know, I felt that was a little slow. We didn't really do what we wanted. We're going to start with some sort of like a start-sit, like sort of like a rankings in a way, too, after this. So first, we're going to go through players that are on the same team and who would you start this week of those two players. And this is a good place where we actually might get a few bets in, because I think we're going to disagree on a few of these.
All right, well, let's see what they are. I have no idea what they are.
No, that's good. That's even better. First, we're going to start with Alfred Morris or Matt Jones. Who would you start this week versus the Giants in New York on Thursday night?
I'm going to go with Matt Jones on that one.
Really? See?
I mean, this could have been just a thing where they were trying to keep Alfred Morris fresh for the Thursday night, and that's the only thing that kind of worries me, where they would want to give the majority of the carries to Matt Jones on Sunday and then give them to Morris on Thursday so he's fresher.
But you think Matt Jones is going to get more carries? You think he's going to be...
I still think Matt Jones.
Really?
Yeah.
No, not yet.
You don't think so?
No, it's going to be... You can't immediately just go away from Alfred Morris. I mean, week one, he steamrolled over the Dolphins. I mean,
we're seeing Dolphins kind of an overrated defense so far.
But it don't matter. It's still did well, and all of a sudden, what, you think 1 week and all of a sudden they're going to go away from Alfred Morris? I don't think so. All right, so how about this? See, look, immediately from the start, I will... These are our little beer bets we have, too, by the way. I bet you Alfred Morris has more... Rushing yards than Matt Jones.
Alright, I'll go for that one.
Alright, this week.
Yeah, this week.
Alright.
On Thursday.
Alright, so I'll take Alfred Morris, you got Matt Jones.
Yeah, I got Matt Jones. Alright.
I think we might have a lot of these. Alright, same game, opposite side. Rashard Jennings or Shane Vereen?
Are we going total points,
touches, rushes, or anything?
No,
just pick who do you think. I mean, we could agree, who knows?
I think in PPR, definitely go for Shane Vereen. For some reason, I mean, not for that. On third down, he's a beast. Catches everything, always gets, most of the time, gets the first down. Giants went away for that for some reason. They have to start targeting him on third down. Because once they started in the fourth quarter against the Falcons, they weren't able to convert big third downs. They were a mess on third down. They need to find Vereen more because he was Tom Brady's outlet for a few years, and that's the role he thrives in. I think that's the role that the Giants have to get for him.
I do agree that they looked a little more explosive with Vereen on the field. So, I mean, if I had to pick one, I mean, I'd probably go Vereen just because of the explosiveness, especially in PPR.
In PPR definitely. The only thing is, he's not going to get the carries that Jennings is going to get. The thing is, though, the Giants, their offensive line, I don't know if they're going to be with Flowers, hurt his ankle, missed part of the game versus the Falcons.
Yeah, more of a reason for Vereen.
Yeah, exactly.
So I think we're both on Vereen on this one. We'll do a couple more. I have like 12 of these. We'll go through like two or three more. There's so many of them. Let's see. How about... this is a really good one. Melvin Gordon or Danny Woodhead? Melvin Gordon finally showed they gave him enough carries, and he actually produced pretty well with those carries. So I'm thinking, standard scoring?
Yes.
Obviously, I think it's Melvin Gordon. PPR, straight up. I mean, Woodhead is still a beast when it comes to PPR.
The Chargers... Danny Woodhead found a good role with the Patriots a few years ago after just let him go. Seems like the Chargers have figured out a nice little niche for him this year. Melvin Gordon's going to be the feature back, though, going forward, I feel like.
Yeah, he had 16 carries to 7 last week in favor of Gordon. Gordon actually averaged 5.5 per carry, which is really solid. Remember, Wood had 6 receptions for 68 yards. Led the Chargers last week versus the Bengals, or should I say yesterday. But, so PPR, Woodhead. But from now on, it seems like Gordon, they really want to get him the ball a lot. And standard scoring, Gordon should be started over Woodhead. But, this is another...
It seems like both are getting a good amount of
touches. I was going to say, this is another scenario where you can possibly start both running backs, especially in a good matchup. And especially PPR. If you have PPR, start both of them, because that could be a lot of points right there. Let's see, who we got here? How about James Jones or Davante Adams?
Gotta go James Jones here.
I understand.
Davante Adams is struggling. And he's got an ankle thing, too, now.
Yeah, but I think he's going to be okay. I wouldn't worry too much about Davante Adams injury-wise. But, yes, look.
Rodgers and James Jones just have so much chemistry from
games,
over the years.
Three touchdowns.
Could have been four.
I get it. Could have been four. I know. They brought one back week one. But guess how many targets James Jones had this week?
This week, less than five?
He had 3. Guess how many catches he had?
three?
He had one catch, that touchdown.
Really?
Yeah. Devontae Adams, even though he went out, still had five targets and five receptions. So he caught all those targets for 33 yards. James Jones is TD dependent. Every week in, week out, I'm still going to take Devontae Adams.
Interesting.
All right, well.
You make a good case for that one. I think I switched to Devontae Adams, too. I didn't realize James Jones only had three targets and one catch for that.
That one catch. It was that one catch. I know. I was surprised, too, because I was watching the game and I was going in and out.
Mm-hmm.
One catch. But, I mean, of course, it was a 29-yard touchdown. But touchdown dependent. So, all right. I got a bunch more, but let's break into now this is more of a way to do this instead of going to game by game. It's we'll do it by position, and we'll pick a few names out, and we'll sort of rank them, and we'll see who we like the best. So, like, let's just do it. And this is for this week. So, you said Stafford's hurt, though, right? Is he going to play?
Not sure yet.
All right. So, you know what? We'll wipe
Stafford. He has a shoulder thing.
Wipe Stafford off. All right. Kaepernick versus Arizona, Bradford versus the Jets. Who do you got ranked higher?
Can I go neither?
No, you have this is what you got. I mean, it's easy.
Higher Kaepernick.
Kaepernick?
Even against the Cards, I mean, their defense is looking solid. I mean, the Cards, if Palmer stays healthy, they're going to be a real solid team. Bradford, you can't have any confidence in him right now, especially against the Jets, who, knock on wood, are doing a solid job against Andrew Luck right now.
I agree. I think I'd have to go Kaepernick.
Yeah, go Kaepernick.
And even if Stafford did play, I would, and was healthy, I would still put Kaepernick over Stafford because he's going against Denver, who their secondary looks really good.
Stafford is?
Yeah, Stafford.
Oh, yeah.
So their Denver secondary looks really good right now. So, and Stafford doesn't look that good.
No.
So I think Kaepernick over Stafford and over Bradford. I'd probably go Kaepernick, Bradford, Stafford. In that order, if Stafford plays, but don't matter. What about this week? Palmer at San Francisco.
Mm-hmm.
Or not, I don't know if it's at San Francisco, but I should say. Palmer versus San Francisco, Tannehill versus Buffalo, Newton versus New Orleans, and River versus Minnesota.
So Newton versus New Orleans?
Yeah. Rank those.
And what was that last one?
Rivers versus Minnesota. So rank those four how you would.
Well, I'm going to put Tannehill at the bottom because. Unless you have an elite quarterback, any QB that's facing Buffalo, I'm not that confident.
Gonna have a bad time?
Yes. All right. Let's go Palmer, number one.
Versus San Fran. They got lit up by Big Ben.
Larry Fitzgerald, if he keeps going at this pace, it's gonna be a renaissance year for him. John Brown is, just as fast and explosive as ever.
John Brown!
Yeah. So as long as Palmer stays healthy, I can see him being a top five, top six quarterback easy.
I think I want to get a conductor's hat that says like John Brown on it because I have been all over that. I mean, I am like the leader of that man.
You driving that? Driving that train?
And I'll drive that shit into the ground. I mean, like if he does this terrible for the rest of the year, I'm still gonna be riding that John Brown bandwagon right to the grave. Just boom, just do it.
All right, so we have Palmer 1 versus San Fran. I'm going to go with Rivers versus Minnesota as 2. Even though Keenan Allen had a very
subpar game.
I mean, anything coming off a 15-catch game is going to look awful, but...
That was bad.
It was especially awful.
That was bad coming off in any catch game.
Fair. And then let's go Newton 3.
And then Tannehill? Really?
And then Tannehill.
Wow.
Newton's going up against the Saints, no offense.
No, that's why I would go probably Newton, Palmer, Rivers, Tannehill.
Really going to put Newton up at the top?
Number one, man.
You think so?
Saints are terrible. I love them, but they're terrible. Jameis Winston looked like a Hall of Fame quarterback.
Not really,
but he looked okay.
He looked like an NFL quarterback. Newton just doesn't have any weapons that want me to put him higher than Palmer and Rivers.
All right, so I'll make this bet with you. How about this?
I mean, I'm going
more fantasy points, right?
Yeah.
This week, Newton over you have Newton 3, right?
Yeah.
I'll take Newton has more fantasy points than Palmer and Rivers, not combined, obviously. But so I'm taking this is two bets. Newton has more than Rivers. Newton has more than Palmer.
I'll update that bet.
Standard scoring, no.
Oh, yeah.
ESPN standard scoring. That's how we go.
Are we going in just passing points or total points?
No. Total fantasy points. Total fantasy points. I got Newton over Palmer and Rivers.
All right. Yeah, I'll take that.
All right. That's two bets.
Yeah, that's two bets. All
right. Telling you. The Saints defense, man. They're going to. I think they're in Carolina, too. And especially if Breeze don't play. Oh, man. It's going to just short fields all over the place.
They're going to be handed off.
To himself, because that's what he does. Dude, he had 10 carries, I think. 10 to 14, I think it was, that Newton had to Stewart. Because Stewart's terrible.
That is true.
All right. Yeah, this is a good one, actually. Mm-hmm. Last quarterback one. Teddy Bridgewater versus San Diego. Marcus Mariota versus Indianapolis. Tyrod Taylor, who I found out last week his nickname is T-Mobile.
Yeah. I have a friend who went to Virginia Tech. All he talks about is freaking T-Mobile.
Versus Miami. The vaunted Miami defense, right? And Flacco versus Cincinnati.
Who's Mariota against?
Indianapolis.
And Bridgewater's against?
And Whale's Vagina.
Okay. That's gross.
I do like Bridgewater.
He's just not going to put up huge fantasy numbers. He's going to get you a solid, consistent 20. He's never going to get you...
I hope he gets 20. At some point, I hope he gets 20 this season.
Well, he got me 20 this week. I can see... I'm going to go with Flacco.
I knew you wanted to go Flacco.
I'm going to go Flacco number one. 0-2
at home. Not going to want to fall to 0-3. Versus a division rival, I think.
I think he had a pretty solid
game this week.
Oh, he had a good game this week.
He's gonna, just discover that new tight end, whatever his awesome name is.
Cracker Gilmore.
There we go. So I'm gonna put Flacco one. I think I'll put Bridgewater two. Actually, let's put Bridgewater two. And then, let's go Tyrod. I have trouble putting in the quarterback that's facing Indy at the bottom.
It's these lower-tiered quarterbacks trying to rank them. It's not an easy task.
And also, and Vonta Davis did go out of this game with a concussion. Not sure how serious it is.
All concussions are serious.
You know what I mean. It's not...
This is what I'm going to do. I'm going to do... Tyrod Taylor, Flacco, Bridgewater, Mariota.
Really?
Yeah, Mariota last.
I think I'm like, see, that's what I think. Yeah, I'm gonna go Tyrod 3, Mariota 4.
See, I like Tyrod. I think he is three touchdowns last week, ran the ball well, had a rushing. He was pretty good.
Yeah, it was all garbage time though. I know it still counts.
All of it was garbage time.
Most of it was garbage time.
I mean, the run wasn't garbage time.
They were down by like 20 when he had to run.
I don't know about that.
I think the Pats backed off.
But I like Tyrod. I think he's gonna be a very decent quarterback. And then that class versus Miami, because usually Miami defense isn't that good.
Yeah, they blow.
So, Taylor can take advantage of that. So, all right, we're actually running a bit long, so we can't do all these 45 things that I have here.
All right, we'll just keep
do you,
going.
Do you have any of yours that you want to do or no?
What? No. Just keep rolling through.
Rolling these? Yeah, all right, let's do some running backs then. How about this? This is a good one. Todd Gurley versus Pittsburgh. Melvin Gordon versus Minnesota. Chris Ivey versus Philly. Carlos Hyde versus Arizona. And Latavius Murray versus Cleveland.
Who's Hyde against?
Arizona.
Ooh, okay. If Gurley plays, I might put him up. Ivory's having a real not a great game against a pretty weak line. That's kind of
That's the thing, Ivory is a good running back, but don't always expect week ones that you had, like that. It's not always gonna be like that.
I don't know. It was second half of last season. He was struggling along too.
He's good, but you're not gonna get he's not one of those. He's not gonna be consistent.
He's not a stud. I know.
That's why you don't draft him in the third round.
All right. Well, if Gurley plays, I'm gonna go Gurley one. Let's go Gordon one versus Minnesota. Then let's go Gordon, Murray, Gurley, Ivory, Hyde.
Let's see. Wow. Wow, really?
Yeah.
Wow, I have a completely opposite. See, this is a bit, I have Hyde 1.
Really? Versus yeah. Arizona?
Versus Arizona. Yeah, absolutely.
Are you sure about that?
Yeah, absolutely. Hyde 1, Latavius Murray 2, Gordon 3, Gurley 4. First game back, I can't trust Gurley that much too yet. You know? And then 5, Ivory. So you have Carlos Hyde 5.
Yes.
So how about that? You want to take that? I'll take that right now. I will take Carlos Hyde having more fantasy points than the other 4.
All right.
That means that one bet, though.
So one bet.
So that means if he beats all 4, I win.
Yeah,
if he doesn't beat all 4, you win. Like, I'm giving you that. You have such great odds on that one.
I'm taking the bet. Yeah, it's a sucker bet.
No, it's not a sucker bet. It's a fantastic bet because Carlos Hyde is going to crush it after this bad week. As long as he plays. He has to play, though. That's the thing. He has to play. No, I'm just saying if he's hurt because he went out with the concussion.
Yeah.
You know, he's got to play. If he's inactive, doesn't count.
I just can't see Arizona giving up more yards than, you know, Pitt, great offense, defense, not there.
But, you know, his first game back, if he plays, Todd, you know.
They're going to let him run free.
Yeah, okay. All right, how about, this is a, getting even harder here. Deion Lewis versus Jacksonville, David Johnson versus San Fran, or Shane Vereen versus Washington. Now, this is getting down to your, you know, deeper 12 teams to 4, you know.
Wait, what was the second one?
David Johnson versus San Fran.
I can't go with David Johnson because he's still not getting a lion's share of the carries.
Did this get hard?
This might be a Deion Lewis one here.
This is where you break it down to your flex position, you know, when you're, or, you know, you're hurting a running back because you have some injuries, or, you know, you're panicking because of your, you know, your CJ Andersons, or.
I'm going to go with Deion Lewis.
You think versus Jacksonville?
I think so, yeah. It's tough to trust Belichick in one back, the feature carries.
He's so Jekyll and Hyde when it comes to running backs.
Yeah. But I got to go Lewis. I got to go Lewis 1. He's looking pretty solid. Versatile back. Vereen. I'm going to go Johnson 2, Vereen 3.
Yeah, I think I'm leaning that way, too. I think Lewis will get the most work. Johnson is the most explosive, but, you know, doesn't get the work. And then Vereen is, like, hit or miss. It's, like, really hit or miss, like, you know.
You also have to trust Eli for that one, too.
Yeah, I mean, I have Odell Beckham 2 leagues, and I still don't trust Eli. All right, let's get to some wide receivers. It's going to be even harder. This is the one I was getting a lot last week, too, on Twitter. That, I don't know, I mean, Jordan Matthews and Jarvis Landry. That's a good problem to have, is who should I start, Matthews or Landry? You know, like, Matthews versus the Jets, Landry versus Buffalo.
Not optimal matchups for either player. I mean, right now...
You can't go wrong with either of them.
You really can't. Jordan Matthews is going to be Bradford's main target.
I mean, they both get targeted a ton.
Yeah, and Landry's pretty reliable, solid hands.
Has the opportunity to run back punts.
Yeah, and I mean, he's done it already. I think I'm going to go Landry. The Jets secondary is a little bit better than Buffalo.
That's the thing I was thinking. This week,
yeah,
Landry, because I have a feeling Matthews is going to get covered or shadowed by Revis. You know,
He can still get beat. But
of course he can get beat, but there's a better chance, I think, for Landry to get the... Look, if, like I said, if you're in this position where you're choosing between Jordan Matthews or Jarvis Landry, you're in a pretty good position.
You're pretty, yeah.
And, you know, that's what, like, people I try to explain to on Twitter. It's like,
you still got a solid...
You still, yeah. Like, throw a dart. You're going to pick one of the two, and you're probably going to do pretty well. So, you know, that's the reason why I put that one down here. It's because I got that one so much last week that it's like, come on, people. You have two good wide receivers. How about, there you go, Michael Crabtree. Your boy Michael Crabtree versus Cleveland, or Mike Wallace versus the Whale's Vagina again.
You gotta go Crabtree. I don't trust Mike Wallace at all.
Yeah, I'm actually going that way too.
Crabtree. I mean,
I still think Charles Johnson is the best wide receiver for the Vikings, and they just have not been able to get the ball to anyone really yet. You know, like Bridgewater hasn't been able to do much, and it's gonna be Charles Johnson at some point, not Mike Wallace.
Bridgewater only had like 190, 185 passing yards this past game.
The rushing touchdown saved him.
Well, yeah. I mean, he... Yeah. I still think they're working and everything. I mean, they're probably still trying to get Adrian Peterson a lot of touches, get him working through that. I'm going to go Crabtree, though. Hayden's probably going to be on Cooper all game. And Crabtree's getting the targets. Derek Carr's looking pretty solid.
And I know, that's actually a good point, too, is that if Hayden does shadow Cooper, that will...
Or tries to.
It'll open it up for Crabtree. You're right, like, Crabtree is a good pickup, and I think he's going to do well. Mike Wallace only had 3 receptions on 3 targets for 38 yards. They just could not get anything going in the passing game. You know, Bridgewater actually completed 14 of 18 passes. Just all short.
Wait, Peterson had 30 carries.
Yeah, and 29, yeah. Yeah, no, that's Charles Johnson, 3 for 10. 3 for 10!
Yeah, that's pretty awful.
You're making me look bad. He is really making me look bad. He was so good at the end of last year.
Yeah. Apparently not good this year, so far.
Obviously not. All right, how about Sammy Watkins versus Miami or Steve Smith Sr.?
Oh, Steve Smith Sr.
Cincinnati.
Oh, yeah, Steve Smith.
All the way?
All the way.
Even versus that light Miami defense that Watkins gets to go against?
I'm a big fan of Steve Smith. Always going to pick him.
Yeah, no, I think I'm trying to make it a little harder on you. How about this? Allen Robinson versus New England?
Mm-hmm.
Or John Brown versus San Francisco?
That's a good one. Versus New England? I'm probably going to go with John Brown. Bill Belichick usually... confuses young quarterbacks, gives them a lot of different looks. Mm-hmm. He can, this guy has a bunch of blitzes and coverages. Although Robinson, he had an explosive game and everything, it's tough to see him duplicating that.
I was going to say, I can't see him going 2 weeks in a row doing that, especially versus New England.
You may be driving the John Brown hype train. Right there, like, shoveling the coal in. Shoveling the coal in, powering that thing.
John Brown, all the way. All right, well, actually, you had Landry over Matthews, or did you have Matthews over Landry?
I had Landry.
All right, so how about Landry or Keenan Allen? Keenan Allen versus Minnesota.
See, this is the thing. Keenan Allen, I believe we mentioned this, even though he had a ridiculous, 15-catch game and everything, he's just so hard to trust doing anything.
Well, the thing is, it's because of last year. Last year really, hurt everyone's, take on him because, he had the targets on reception, but they just weren't on last year. There was a real big problem with San Diego's offense last year. And I think that's really scaring. That scared a lot of people off Keenan Allen this year.
And who's that? They're playing San Francisco? Yeah. Who are they playing?
San Diego?
Yeah, San Diego playing?
They are playing Minnesota.
Decent defense, too.
Yeah.
I might go...
Keenan Allen was only targeted 4 times last week.
Yeah, I might go Keenan Allen just because Buffalo's defense is just better than Minnesota's.
So you'd go Allen, Landry, Matthews in that sense?
Yep, that's what I said.
Wow. I think I'd still take Landry over Allen.
You still think so?
Just because of the amount of targets that he gets, and, Buffalo's defense is good, but...
Miami's offensive line, not very good. They're going to fold underneath the pressure from Buffalo. Tannehill, I don't like Tannehill. Even when he has time to step up, he's still erratic as hell. So, under pressure, he did it against the Jets the 2 times they played him last year. When Rex was, sending blitzes. Yeah. Even with, and Buffalo's defense is just so much better than the Jets were last year. I just think Tannehill's going to fold, and I'll go Allen, Landry, Matthews, though.
All right, I can see that. I mean, I was thinking about making a bet with that one, but I'm not going to... I think I've already put myself in a huge hole this week.
Yeah, you did.
Look, you gotta spend money to make money, right?
Nah, that's not how it works.
All right, well, actually, this is the last wide receiver one. Fitzgerald versus San Francisco.
Mm-hmm.
Or... was him? No, Amari Cooper versus Cleveland. Young and explosive or old and resilient?
I mean, obviously, Fitz, great game. I mean, even if he comes close to it, kind of have to go with him. But Cooper,
I think we just saw the tip of the iceberg and just...
Yeah, absolutely just saw the tip of the iceberg. You're not worried about Hayden?
Cooper's big and strong, just and Hayden got dominated by Marshall. So I think I'm gonna go Cooper over Fitz.
Wow.
Still, I like Fitz. I think Cooper might have a better.
I only hope Cooper over Fitz because I hope all those points that would go to Fitz go to John Brown.
That's true.
But no, I think Fitz is gonna have a great game, and I don't know. I'm gonna think about that when I throw the rankings in there. But they're gonna be close. They're gonna be real close.
All right. Well, right. I feel like that. I mean, that's a solid amount of rankings that we just did.
You want to do one tight end?
Yeah, let's go with tight end.
I was gonna do we'll do this one because those ones are too easy. All right, this is a five piece right here, big five piece.
All
right. Last one, healthy, Delanie Walker.
Okay.
Zach Ertz. Walker versus Indianapolis.
Yeah.
Ertz versus New Jersey. I was gonna say.
Jets. Yeah.
Dwayne Allen got hurt, right?
Yeah,
All right, don't worry about him. Eric Ebron versus Denver.
Okay.
Ladarius Green versus San Diego. And we'll throw in Keith Miller versus St. Louis.
Not a huge fan, really, of any of these guys. I guess...
Well, I'm trying to throw it, like, because this is going to be what people are going to have to think about.
I guess you have to go Miller, because... The Pittsburgh offense is just a machine right now.
He only had two receptions last week, but one was for a touchdown, and then he had a 2-point conversion. So
yeah. 2-point conversion is getting big now. With more teams, especially, and Pittsburgh seems to be the team that's going to be going for it.
Well, they're on their third kicker already.
I know. So
Kobe missed like 17 field goals in the first game, so they're really worried about him.
Okay. So I think I might go. Give me. Miller 1. Let's go Ertz 2. I mean, this is just like splitting hairs at this point.
For people, you know, these are the decisions people gotta make because of the fact that there's only a few good tight ends out there, you know? Yeah, if you don't got the Gronkowskis or the Graham, who's not really doing well, it's a little buy-low candidate if you could try and get. I think Jimmy Graham will start stepping up and his role will increase at some point because he can't just get one catch every freaking game. But that's besides the point.
I'll go Ebron 3. He's a big athletic guy.
He's proven me wrong. I did not think he was going to, you know, stay anywhere near what he did week 1, but he did.
And then, I guess, I don't know, Green then Walker. At this point, it just doesn't really matter. it's just splitting hairs, to be honest.
Throwing darts. Yeah. But that's the thing is, like, you know, people are looking for Ertz or Walker, and you know you want to help them, but you know at some point you can't just say it's splitting hairs. You can, but you know that's not what you're trying to do. You're trying to help them as much as possible. So, but you know, I think Miller with the offense is explosive. He's got to be number one. Then I would say I would go Walker, Ebron, Ertz, and then Ladarius Green. I think that would be my.
That's fair.
I just think. But you're right. Heath Miller, one of the best offenses in the league. Always going to get those red zone looks. So.
It'd be interesting to see how it plays out now with Bell actually coming back this week.
But you know what? Heath Miller is the safest bet to get you 5 to 8 points every week. Basically. Well,
sometimes that's all you got to ask of your tight end if you don't have one of the top guys.
Yeah. All right. So. That'll be something we look like we'll probably be doing a lot of weeks, is doing, you know, some of those, you know, rankings, you know, stick questions. Who would you start? Who would you sit? Now, we'll just finish it off with a little bit of
DraftKings. Daily.
Because, you know, everyone loves that DraftKings / FanDuel /
losing money.
Yeah, exactly. The one person who wins $1 million is never you. It's always some guy on television who played for the first time. Yeah, I put $20 in. Now I'm a millionaire. So, go ahead. Go with
my QB. Andy Dalton, somehow still only 5,700. Playing Baltimore, who's gotten ripped.
That is
who
value.
Just got ripped by Oakland. But yeah, Dalton's looked really, really good over the first couple weeks. He's got
the red rifle.
Yeah. Got
5,700?
Yep, that's it.
That's cheap, but I think I'm going to go a little higher. Go Russell Wilson, 7,000. He's at home versus the Bears.
You,
four touchdowns by Carson Palmer last week.
You think he can?
I'm thinking he can top it. He is going to destroy the Bears. They just came off. They're 0-2.
Yes.
You don't think they're going to be pissed off? And what better team to go up against than a team with a terrible defense? Poor. Who now has Jimmy Clausen throwing for him. They're going to get a lot of short field. I mean, I'm telling you, Russell Wilson could run for two touchdowns. So I think that is your safest bet in fantasy
right
now, Russell Wilson.
Pretty much anyone that's going against the Bears is going to be a safe bet.
It's going to be a safe bet.
My running back, again, this is dependent on if Coleman gets cleared to play or not, but Devonta Freeman, 4,600 versus Dallas. Solid back, can catch, doesn't get you those PPR points.
How much?
4,600.
Really? Wow, I'm surprised he didn't
know that. Yeah, it's a little bit expensive, but then again, once you get below the top guys for running backs,
it's
a crapshoot. It's
I
was scrolling around for a while trying to find a
I'm all about Deion Lewis. Maybe I missed it by 1 week, but for $4,200, the way the Patriots are using him in the PPR in a format that DraftKings has, $4,200. I mean, come on, that is a great deal to get a PPR stud like Deion Lewis, and they're going against Jacksonville, so I can see a lot of screen passes, a lot of checkdowns going his way. So
and my receiver. Is the guy that we were talking about in the rankings is Allen Robinson. 5,200 against New England. New England gives up a lot of points to receivers.
You were worried about the young
quarterbacks. I was worried about it, but I remember that. I picked him in daily. The other guy I was kind of looking at is Nate Washington, 3,600 at Tampa Bay. That defense is not as good as the Saints made it look, so.
Wait, that's Nate Washington on the Texans, right?
Yep.
You know what, though? The one thing I'm worried about is, you know, I wish you saw how much Cecil Shorts was, because he was targeted like crazy this past.
I think Cecil Shorts was a little bit more.
He had 12 targets. You know, Nate Washington had, like, the most yards.
Yeah.
But 12 targets for Cecil Shorts, so
that's a lot. Yeah,
that might be another way to look into, you know, especially, you know, thinking. Yep. 6 receptions too, by the way.
Okay.
But my guy is the guy who I was going against last week was Kendall Wright, because I thought Kendall Wright was going to be shadowed by Hayden,
which he was,
and he got shut down big time. But for 5,000 at home versus the Colts, they're gonna have to. I think they're gonna throw a lot at this point. If the Colts go 0-2, they're gonna want to.
They just did.
They just. Oh, the game was over.
Yeah, man. Jets won.
Yeah, Jets.
2-0 Jets.
Woo! There you go. Colts are gonna go crazy. I think they're gonna throw the ball like madmen, and the Titans are gonna have to keep up. And the only way they're gonna be able to keep up is by throwing it to Kendall Wright, and he is gonna get targeted a lot by Mariota. So
right.
$5,000. I think that's it.
Solid choices all around. All
right. So remember, don't forget to rate, subscribe, and download us on iTunes. You can also check us out on Google Play, downloading the Podomatic app for your phone. Follow us on Twitter at FFBC_podcast. Just don't be a jerk.
You gotta let that go.
Look, give advice, just don't be a jerk, okay? And good luck to all you fantasy people out there, and we will see you next week.